No. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Come on in and find a seat. And go ahead and stand with me. Right, sorry. Find a seat and stand. That's right. All right, and let's pray before we begin worship. Jesus, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can all be here together to come and worship you, God. Lord, I pray that your presence will just be in this space with us, Lord. That you will come and speak to us, that we will be open to receiving you, God. And that we'll be able to be here in this moment with you. I just pray you bless our worship and that your heart is blessed through our worship, Lord, and that our hearts are blessed through your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Receiving what Jesus has for us this morning. You make me brave. You make me brave. You Thank you.
Sebastopol Christian Church to our Sunday morning service. And my name is Jim, and I'm pastor here, and I want to welcome you, and we pray that you've had a great week and you're ready to come and worship God and learn more what it means to be a follower of his son Jesus. And if you're following us live stream online, welcome to you as well, and may this be a great spiritual nourishment to your soul. Hey, if you are a guest with us, we have a gift for you. We have this cup. And it's got, you can hold hot or cold drinks. You can take it with you, take it to your workplace. Somebody may ask you, hey, what's this all about? And you can tell them, you can be brave and tell them about, you know, where you go to church on the weekend, right? So just please fill out this welcome card and turn it in at the end of the service in the back, and we'll exchange that for a cup. Hey, I hope that you guys have had a great week. Lisa and I, we celebrated on Friday our 33rd wedding anniversary. So we're still going strong by God's grace. So let's turn and greet one another this morning.
you guys. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Got to get my hug. Well, come on in, give your last hug, your last handshake, and welcome, and have a seat. We are so happy that you are here today at Sebastopol Christian Church. There is no better place to be to come together and to worship with fellow believers and to share the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do that every weekend here, Saturday night, Sunday morning, but we also want to do that during the week and during special events. So we have special announcements for you that we want you to please pay attention to. Many of you have probably already heard about our upcoming women's retreat. We're very excited about it. Many retreats will go overnight sometimes, that's the way it goes, but this one's going to be one full day. So what we want you to do is just pray about setting aside one day. If you are a woman, if you know one, we would love for you to come, and we'd love for you to bring a friend. We would love to share this special day set in this gorgeous setting up at Alliance Redwoods, where we're going to focus on breathing. I needed to do that. Sometimes we all need to do that. Breathing is vital. It's vital to our well-being. We have to take it in, and we have to let it out, and we have to do it repeatedly. Sometimes we forget that in our relationship with Jesus. We need to take him in, we need to breathe him out, and we need to continue to fill ourselves with his Holy Spirit. That's exactly what we're going to do at this year's retreat. We're going to have fun too, and food, but we're going to come together and we're truly going to focus on him. So we want you to join us. Today and this week through Friday is the last chance that you have to sign up. So if you haven't done it, please, please be praying about doing that. The sign-up sheet is in the back, and we'll give you any details that you need to know after you sign up. Also, we are offering a financial peace class. Financial peace. Sometimes those two words are never used together. We talk about finances. I don't hear a lot of people going, yeah, I'm so peaceful about it. It's so easy. I can decide where to spend my money, where to get my money from, what I'm going to do, when's the next money coming. All of those kinds of questions can do anything but bring us peace. But we know that God has a plan. He has a perfect plan. And in his word, he spelled it out. And some people who have studied that extensively have put together this financial peace class. So we'd love for you to join us with that. That will start next Sunday, and it will be right after this service. So if you're sitting right here, you can worship with us and then go downstairs and be a part of that class. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for that as well. This week is also an opportunity that we have to serve others in our community. We do this once a month. We're so thrilled to have a fantastic leader in this that has done it for years and years. She's super organized. She makes it easy for all of us. You just need to show up at the food bank, and we'll give you directions if you need to, and you can help us serve. Put together food that's been donated that will go out to bless people in our community. So that's this Wednesday night. We'd love for you to join us. There's more information in the back on that as well. And then getting together as women is one step, but getting together as the family of Christ is really what we want to do all the time. And sometimes we love doing it away from this location. We love doing it every week here, but we also want to have opportunities to get together as a family and have fun. And we know no better way to do that than to go to a ball game. So we're going to meet on Saturday, and that's going to be September 9th. In the morning, it's a day game at the A's Stadium, and we're all going to carpool together. So there's information on how you can sign up for the A's family game together in the back as well. Well, we also know that weekly, we need to stay in touch with God. It's fantastic to come here. This is one time this week. But God asks us to do it again and again and again, to be with him. And we need to be encouraged by others who are doing the same thing so that we can break strongholds, which is what the sermon's about today. How do we do that? We stay in the Word of God, and we make godly, good habits and break those old habits that we need to get rid of. We know no better way to do that than come together weekly in life groups. We have men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, singles groups. We want you to be a part of whatever group works for you, whatever time of the week, and get together with fellow believers to encourage one another, to build each other up, and to be in the Word of God. Well, we're never going to outdo the men, so we have a women's retreat. Men have a very special prayer breakfast coming up. Jim's super excited about it because he got confirmation that you are going to have an ex-49er football player as your speaker. So he's really excited about that, and he wants all of you to come out and join him for that. That's going to be the men's prayer breakfast on Saturday, September 23rd, and it starts bright and early at 7:30 a.m. Well, finally, but certainly not least, and thanks for hanging in there with me. They gave me 2 pages of announcements this week. We have a lot coming up. That's a good thing. We are a busy church, and we want to be busy always serving God. And but we know that nothing can be done without Him, without His strength, His leading, His guidance, and His power. So we're coming together for an all-church night of worship and prayer. This is going to be a beautiful blend and combination of worship and praying and reading God's word. We do not want you to miss that. Please join us. And that is going to be on Friday night, September 8th, right before the A's game, at 6:30 p.m. right here. God bless you. Let's continue worshiping.
Let's stand. Father, Spirit, Son, How great is our God? Thank you for being here with us today, Lord. And God, we pray for more. We just pray for more of your presence, Lord, and that you will continue to be opening our hearts, Jesus, to receive what you have for us this morning. This next song is called Good, Good Father. And as we sing this song, I just want to encourage us to believe this. And you know, there's so many lies from the world that try to tell us that God isn't good and that God causes bad things and that, you know, these things that aren't working out is because of God or because of something you did. And that's not Jesus. God's love is so unconditional. There's no condition to receive his love. And there's no condition to receive his goodness. And as we sing this song, I just want to encourage us to believe it and not just sing it, to believe that, God, you are so good and that we are his loved, loved children. Thank you.
Continue our worship this morning by celebrating communion, and if you're going to be serving communion, I'd ask that you'd come and prepare at this time. I was thinking of this Bible verse as we were singing the song about God being a good, good father, and one of the things a good father does is he loves his children. He protects his children. He provides what his children needs. One of the best definitions of love I ever heard was seeing what the other person needs and then acting in their best interest to provide for what they need. And so that's why we are celebrating communion this morning. Our God knows that we have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency to forget. And so he always points us back to true north, to what is true. And he gives us a sacrament that we celebrate every week. And it's the sacrament of communion, the sacrament where, by the way, a sacrament means that we are celebrating with something physical to remind us of a spiritual truth and a reality. And the spiritual truth is that Jesus Christ has given his life for us because God, who is a loving Father, has sent Jesus to accomplish that. It says in 1 John chapter 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. Lord, we love you because you loved us first. And thank you so much that in your love, you made a way for us to be brought back into a right relationship with you through your Son Jesus, through his voluntary loving sacrifice. He gave his life for us on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. It's by his wounds that we have been healed. And we celebrate that this morning. So as we take these emblems of communion, Lord, remind us of the depth of your love for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Think about our God. We think about this God of love. He's a good, good Father, and he loves us. And love is defined as a relationship, because you can't really say somebody's a loving person without seeing that love demonstrated and how they show love to somebody else that they care about. And God has shown his love to us in so many ways, most of all by sending Jesus, but giving us all these gifts that we have. The Bible says every good and perfect gift that we have is from God. It comes from him. And God asks us in that love relationship now to partner with him as his children, as ministers of the new covenant. He wants us to join with him on his mission to rescue a world that desperately needs to know that Jesus is their Savior and can be their Redeemer. And so he says, join with me on this mission. And so we have this privilege of doing that by sharing in our tithes and offerings. Father, please receive our gifts to you with grateful hearts, Lord. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. And we pray that you would take these gifts and use them to build your kingdom, to display to a world that needs to know you, that you are love and that you care about them and that you are looking out to meet their needs through your family, through this kingdom that you call your church and the kingdom of God. So, Lord, do your work and glorify your name. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
are so faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From love's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
All right, truth from God's word. You may be seated. On the power of Christ I stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. You know, let God be true and all other people liars. That's what we stand on, is the truth of God's word. Hey, we are in a series this summer through 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, and I hope that you guys are reading that book thoroughly week to week as we are progressing through this. We've made it all the way up to chapter 10 now, and the message today is called Tearing Down Strongholds, Demolishing Strongholds That the Enemy Raises Up Against God. So let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer together, and we'll ask God to bless this message. Lord, this morning I pray and I ask you for the filling of your Holy Spirit so that I may speak your truth in love, with boldness, with passion, with clarity, so that the words that I say today are the words that you want me to communicate to these people. And Lord, please help the hearers here today to be able to hear your voice through your word and to be able to say yes to whatever you are calling them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've thought much about this, but I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever thought about the serious battles that are going around us in this world today? Battles that are going around all the time. Sometimes we see them in the news, but if we're not watching the news, we may not even be aware or thinking about this from day to day or week to week. Many spiritual battles that are going on in our world today. For example, there's a battle of the drug pushers versus the DEA, or the Drug Enforcement Administration. There's the battle of the mafia or organized crime. Could be MS-13 is in the news lately, versus the FBI. Could be the battle between human traffickers and law enforcement trying to eradicate those crimes. And then the daily battle that is going on, not only in the United States, but around the world, the battle of terrorists who would try to impose by force a radical way of life on the rest of the world. And in our own country, the battle between terrorists versus our own homeland security. The interesting thing about these battles is they're the battles that we can see. They're the battles that at least we know about. But what about the other kinds of battles? What about the battles that we cannot see? The unseen cosmic war that is going on, a cosmic battle for the souls of men and women who are created in God's image, but they're damaged by sin and we live in this broken world. There's a war going on over our hearts and our minds, and it may seem invisible, but God says in His Word that this war is no less real. The spiritual warfare is real, and it requires us to suit up, to put on our armor, to be able to defend ourselves from these enemy attacks. I want to go first. I told you we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 10, and if you want to follow along on the screen, that's great. If you want to look in the Bibles in the pew racks, that's page 1163, or maybe page 805 or 6, depending on the Bible that's out there. But let's talk about this spiritual war that's going on in the unseen world. Not first by going to 2 Corinthians 10, but we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 because it talks about that in detail. Verses 10 and 11, we read about the need to put on our spiritual armor. Paul says these words to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We've got to put on the full armor of God so that when we do, we're able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, what are the schemes of the devil? Well, that word scheme is a Greek word, methodia. It means to act craftily, to act deceptively. And what else would the enemy of our souls, Satan, do? Satan's greatest weapon that he has against us is Satan's ability to deceive. He has the ability sometimes to persuade us, to get us to doubt God, to doubt his word. And instead of believing God and his word, Satan distracts us, misdirects us, and we start believing his lies instead of the truth of God's word. Paul goes on and he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not just a human battle with other people. Sometimes we think that, right? Our battle is against so-and-so or this particular person who has a radically different view of life than I do, a radically different value system than I do. And we think, oh, that's our real battle. But behind that, that person with whom we may disagree, there's this unseen spiritual battle. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's this unseen battle going on. There's a great author of this last century, a great Christian apologist and teacher. He is an Irishman, but he lived in England most of his life. His name is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote a great book. It's a fictional work, so I recommend the book that you read it, but don't read it as if it's fact or if it's a nonfiction. This is a story. This is the idea in C.S. Lewis's mind that if two demons, two servants of the devil were talking to each other and they were trying to figure out how to ruin a human being's life, what would they say to each other? What kind of advice would they give to each other? And in this story, the Screwtape Letters, there's this junior demon. His name is Wormwood. And he's looking for advice from his uncle, who's a more experienced demon. The uncle's name is Screwtape. And that's why these series of letters back and forth are called the Screwtape Letters. Listen to what Screwtape advises his junior demon. He says, but do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy being God. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. How can you lead a man astray? With lies, with deceptions, with getting the man to turn away from the giver of life, what Screwtape would call our enemy, and to edge him away from the light and out into the nothing. So Paul says it this way. Now we go back to 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to talk about this spiritual warfare going on. We're going to talk about what it means to demolish strongholds that the enemy might have in our life. And so Paul says in verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So Paul uses this military metaphor here, this word strongholds. It's an allusion to towers, to ramparts, to buttresses that were used in cities in ancient battles. Paul uses strongholds to stand for every argument and every pretension that rears up and contradicts the truth about God, about who God is, about what God is like. For example, you know, we just sang a great song to remind us of God's goodness, that give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. We worship a good, good Father. But a lie coming in from the enemy might say to us, you know what? God isn't good. God is a mean, vindictive God. God is a distant lawgiver. God wants nothing more than to give us his laws and to see us fail and then take pleasure in punishing us for our failures. Somebody may have that idea about God, and that is not coming from God. So there is the lie that comes in. There is a stronghold that could get root and take root in our life. We have to recognize that stronghold. We have to reject that and remind ourselves that God is personal, that God is love, and that he really is a good, good father. So Paul goes on, and I want to rephrase it in a slightly different way because we have the New International Version. There's another translation, the New Living Translation. Sometimes we can grab another nugget of truth as we read a different translation. Look what it says here. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture their rebellious thoughts. Think of that word again. Think about all the lies and the deceptions that are out there in the world, and thinking that instead of letting them come in and take root in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, we have to recognize them, we have to reject them, and then the Bible says, and we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So here's a question for you this morning. How do you overcome a stronghold in your life? And maybe even a question to go before that question is, how do you even know if you have a spiritual stronghold in your life? Because sometimes we just think whatever we believe, well, that's true, because that's the way we've been taught. That's the way we've learned. Whatever family or culture or church or religious system that we grew up in, this is what we thought about God. It must be true because somebody I love and respect taught me this, right? How do you know that you even have a stronghold in your life? A lot of us do have a stronghold, and we don't even realize it. Discovering a stronghold in our lives takes some discernment. Discernment is the ability to judge between what is right and wrong. And we have to develop discernment as we grow in our relationship with God. We have to figure out what the false idea or value is that runs against the teaching of the Bible. By the way, as an example from Jesus, Jesus shows us what it's like to point out a spiritual stronghold and then to give us the truth of God's word. And he does it, the biggest example I can see is in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the first teaching discourse that Jesus does in the Gospel of Matthew? And he begins in the Sermon on the Mount, and he starts saying these words. He says, "You have heard it said." Now, I put the "what you've heard it said" in red ink, and the red ink is going to remind us is this is not the truth of God's word. This is the lie from the enemy. And the lie from the enemy, if that's what we believe and it takes root in our lives, that becomes a stronghold in our hearts that we have to recognize, to discern, to battle against, and we have to reject that evil thought, and we have to take captive that thought and make it obedient to Christ. Amen? So look what the lie is that Jesus points out. Lies that were very much believed by the culture that Jesus was preaching to in his day. Jesus said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you," Jesus says. So now when he says, "I tell you," what he's going to say is, you need to reject that lie from the enemy, and you need to believe the truth about God and his word. And so instead of saying, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy," Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So in other words, instead of saying, "Well, in this world, you know, there's people in our lives that treat us well and that we love and they believe the same things we do. And as long as they're in my tribe and I believe what they believe and they agree with me, then they're my people. They're my neighbors. They're my family. I love them. They love me. But anybody else out there that isn't of our particular tribe, I reject them. I hate them. And it seems like we have permission to do it." And Jesus says, "No, you don't. Because everybody's created in God's image. And we don't have the right to demean anyone just because they are different from us. Because God made them all. And God gave them value just because they're a human being made in God's image. And so we have to love them no matter who they are, no matter whether they agree with us or not, no matter whether they have the same viewpoints in life that we do. So Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So there's Jesus taking on a stronghold. And now Jesus brings up another stronghold. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that kind of the law of revenge? The law of revenge says, hey, and this is what we do. We do it when we're driving out on the road. We do it when we're out in the parking lot, in the supermarket. We basically say, look, if you treat me well, I'm going to treat you well. You're respectful to me, I'll be respectful to you. You're kind and nice to me, I'll be kind and nice to you. But what happens if you're rude to me? What happens if you cut me off? What happens if you say something mean to me? Well, now it's not really God's law, it's the law of Hammurabi. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, you hurt me, and now I have the right to hurt you. And if you want a living illustration of that, I point you to Sylvester Stallone and all the Rambo movies, right? I point you to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and any time he ever had a family member that was injured or hurt or kidnapped or a friend of his was killed, the minute that happened, all of a sudden, he got the green light to be able to kill, seek, and destroy anybody who was considered his enemy. And everybody in America, all us guys, you know, blood pumping. Yeah, you get him, Arnold. You take on that guy. He was me. You know, he mistreated you and yours. He's going to have to pay for that, right? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus confronts that. And he takes on that stronghold and he says, you know, that's not the way life should be. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, instead of saying an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, you need to have the value of Christ. It says, do not resist. I tell you, Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. In other words, let those things go. Let those insults go. Pray for those who persecute you. Return. Have you ever read this in 1 Peter? This one will rock your world if you've never read it before. It says, return a blessing for an insult. So Peter even goes beyond that. He says, hey, don't just eat the insult. Don't just say, I can't say anything back because I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to pray for those who persecute me. I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. You know, but inside you're like, ugh. And Peter says, you know what? You got to even have a better attitude than that. And when they mistreat you, you should bless them. When they insult you, you should return a blessing for an insult. And not sarcastically either, like, God bless you, you know. But you know what you mean when you're saying God bless you, right? So Jesus is saying these are strongholds that are in this society. You've heard it said is the stronghold. But Jesus is coming up with a clear teaching of this is the way to follow God. This is the way God is. Because God reigns on the righteous and the wicked. God is kind to everybody, not just the ones who love him. And you need to be more like Jesus. In fact, what did Jesus say when Jesus was going on the road? He's going down the Via Dolorosa on the way to Golgotha, the place of the skull where he's going to be crucified. What did Jesus even said? He said, Father, in fact, the Bible says he kept on saying it over and over again. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What an attitude of grace. What a way of returning a blessing for an insult. And what effect did it have on the people? When Jesus died and he bowed his head and he said, into your hands I commit my spirit, and he gave up his spirit and he died, the Bible says the Roman centurion that was in charge of that execution, he looked up to Jesus and he saw his life and his attitude, even facing an unjust death and execution, and the Roman centurion says, that man surely was the Son of God. That's the kind of effect that acting in God's way can change around a world and change around in a society. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to put on your thinking cap and pause here and saying, what are the strongholds? What are the strongholds that I may have in my own life and my own value system? Because it says in Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Whatever you allow repeatedly to occupy your mind, whatever you allow to shape and influence your thoughts, so that over time, what happens, that idea starts to express, that idea becomes who you are, that idea becomes what you value in life. Your mind will absorb and reflect on whatever it is exposed to repeatedly. So here's what's happened. There's no neutral out there. Whatever the events that you attend, whatever the relationships that you build, the conversations you have repeatedly, whatever materials that you read, whatever music you listen to, whatever media image that you continue to expose yourself to, those become the thoughts that you entertain and ruminate on. I use that word ruminate because it reminds me of the word picture that comes from that. Ruminate comes from a word picture of a cow that is chewing the cud. You ever seen a cow out there? I wish my jaw was a little more mobile because I could illustrate. But it's this idea, just taking that cud and mulling it over and over and over again. Maybe like an old guy in Appalachia, you know, with his big chaw chewing tobacco. You know, just going over it over and over again, right? Filling your mind with something and letting it percolate and going over there. Over time, those thoughts, those ideas, those images, those philosophies, they will shape your mind, they will shape your values, and eventually it'll shape your character and your destiny. And so now I'm going to go to Medlin. So I'm telling you in advance here, I'm going to Medlin. So what is it that you're putting in your mind and your heart? You look at pornography over time and you start to see people just as sex objects, not as people who have infinite value and are created in God's image. You look at women's fashion magazines all the time, and you start to think that the only beautiful women that are out there are 5'10" and blonde and 115 pounds. And the reality is, you're 5'10" and 115, you're a skeleton. You're not, I wouldn't exactly say that's beautiful. Look at another one. You listen to hard music. You listen to some hard street music like gangsta rap over and over again, and how do you start to see the world? You start to see the view that cops are racist, that violence and fighting is what solves your problems, and that's what gives you respect, is carrying around a gun. You start to see that women are toys. You start to believe that money and possessions are the only thing that really matters. You watch enough, here I'm going to go to Medlin again. You watch enough modern romantic movies and you think that it's perfectly okay to have sexual relations with somebody that whether or not you're married to them doesn't matter, as long as you care about each other, as long as there's a spark, as long as there's some mutual feeling between you two. That's what a modern romantic movie will do. And there's, besides that, I only mentioned pornography, women's magazines, hard gangsta music, modern romantic movies. I just gave you four examples of ideas that are out there that if we let them in over and over repeatedly, they can come to live and reside in our hearts and in our value system and in our thinking, so where that becomes a stronghold. And we're going to have to recognize that. We're going to have to confront that. And the Bible says we're going to have to take captive every rebellious thought and make it obedient to Christ. Because as a person thinks in their heart, so will they become. The more you listen and watch those lies and start to believe them, the more powerful and gripping a stronghold that they become in your life. And we've seen there's lots of demonic strongholds out there. Now, how are we going to defeat those? It's one thing to be able to discern what is a stronghold. And okay, there's a thought, there's an idea, there's a value in my life that I have, and I know it's not godly. I know it doesn't square up with the truth that's in the gospel. The only way we're going to defeat a stronghold is by recognizing them, by confronting them, by calling them out, by tearing them down, and then by replacing them with the truth that is in God's word. And so look what Paul says as he continues in verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments. We demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So how do you go about demolishing a stronghold? How do you go about tearing down a false idea of what is real? A false idea that is opposed to God and to his truth. Well, the best way I know to confront something false is to confront it with the truth. Look what Jesus said. He said in John chapter 17, the prayer right before Jesus went to the cross in the upper room with his with his followers. Jesus said, sanctify them, or set them apart to God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. How are we going to confront the lies of the enemy? With the truth of God's word. And so we've got to have God's word in our lives. In fact, one of the reasons why we give you a daily devotional, and those are back in the back table area starting in the month of September. Why is it so important that we hand out these daily devotionals? Because we want you to be in the truth of God's word every single day. Because the truth of God's word is what points us to true north of what is real and right and something worth following and believing. And sometimes the truth of God's word helps us to recognize what is false and what is a deceptive lie of the enemy, that he tries to take power over us. And the only power that the enemy can have is when we believe and we start to follow his lies and his deceptions rather than sticking with God and his truth. We need God's word in our lives every day. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through God's word to confront and to establish the truth of God in us. We continue to grow and confront these strongholds with prayer. We're staying close to God our Father. We're asking him to point out if there's anything in our lives, anything that we believe that is not pleasing to him, that is not in conformity with his will for us. And then we have faith. We are going to trust in God. We're going to live out a life that honors Jesus. That's how we're going to change our behavior. To first change that behavior, we got to change the way that we think. We got to be transformed, to be changed from the inside out by the renewing of our minds. We've got to learn to replace the wrong thoughts and ideas with the excellent thoughts of God. So here's some steps to help you tear down strongholds in your life. And these are in your bulletin. It's in your program. It's on page 1. There's a few fill in the blanks I would love for you to follow along right now. Some steps to help us tear down and break a spiritual stronghold in your life. Number 1, you have to know your opponent. You have to know your opponent. And again, remember Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So the first thing we have to recognize is our opponent. It's not a family member. It's not our boss. It's not the nasty driver that's on that road. It's not even a gossipy coworker or a family member or a neighbor that's always tearing us down. Our real opponent is the ancient enemy of all humanity. Ever since the fall in the garden, his name is Satan, the devil. Our battle against a stronghold in our lives, it's ultimately spiritual. And thank God that he gives us weapons to fight this spiritual battle. Because God says in his word, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the Holy Spirit that resides in us by faith in Christ than he who is in the world. So we don't have to be governed and owned and controlled by these spiritual strongholds in our lives. We have to know our opponent. We have to recognize that the battle is ultimately spiritual and nothing else. Number two, we need to pray. We need to pray and seek God's help. We've got to ask God and through his Holy Spirit to guide and direct our thoughts, to guide and direct our prayers. We need to use God's word to establish his authority over all of our life, including whatever is the stronghold. Now look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 talks about thinking new thoughts, being transformed from the inside out. It uses this illustration of clothing in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians, it says, put off the old self and put on the new self. The imagery is a pair of clothes. The imagery is you've got these old, stinky, worldly, dying, decaying clothes that we're wearing that came out of the way we used to think and believe and act before we were followers of Jesus. And Paul says, think of it like shedding off an old pair of clothes and putting on a brand new pair of clothes. So he says, put off the old self and put on the new self that is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're going to take on the new garb, the new threads, so to speak, of being a follower of Jesus, the new truth that comes through God's word. And we're going to let that govern our lives instead of the old clothes of the strongholds that we were living by before. So we are to know our opponent. We are to pray and seek God's help. Number 3, we are to speak and declare the truth. Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 8, Jesus says, If you follow my teachings. Do you notice that conditional clause right there? Not that everybody does, because a lot of people know about Jesus' teaching. Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. To know what Jesus says and what his commands are, that doesn't do us any good all by themselves. Jesus says, if you follow my teachings, then you are truly my disciples. And he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What are some of the declarations of truth from God's word that can actually set us free? Well, here's the truth. You're a child of God. When you put your trust in Jesus, you became a member of God's family. You are a child of God. You have the righteousness of Christ. You don't have to jump on that spiritual treadmill anymore and say, if I just do this enough times, if I just stop doing bad things enough times, then God will love me. Then he will accept me into his kingdom family. We don't have to earn God's love. He already loves us. All we have to do is graciously receive his love and walk in his steps as a family member. So the truth is, you are a child of God. You have the righteousness of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's word to help you overcome the stronghold. So God isn't leaving us with no weapons to fight with. You know, it's one thing. I remember watching this movie about the Battle of Stalingrad. And I remember the beginning of the movie, these poor Russian soldiers, they cross this river, and they're now having to battle the Germans to defend the city of Stalingrad in the winter of 1942. And the Russian soldiers in the back had no rifles at all. They had no guns, no weapons, no ammo. All they had was their soldier's uniform on. And they said, you follow the soldiers in front of you in the battle. And when you see a soldier fall from enemy gunfire, you grab his rifle and you pick it up and you continue the battle. That was all they were given. You know, what kind of a war strategy is that, where the soldiers don't even get any weapons to fight with? God is giving us his weapons to fight with. He's given us his word and his Holy Spirit. He's given us the church, the body of Christ. It's one reason why we go to church every weekend, because we need to be reminded of what true north is, of where our anchor is, of following God, and that, you know, this is the way, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we are following him. And we don't go to church regularly. We don't get a daily intake of God's word. If we don't fellowship with other believers in life groups, we can drift. And the other images, the other ideas and philosophies that are out there, they can begin to come in, and we start believing the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. So we need all these disciplines to stay on the right path. I remember a great Promise Keepers song from the 1990s. You guys remember what Promise Keepers was? Those of you been around Christendom a while? About 25 years ago, Promise Keepers began this ministry in the United States, calling out Christian men to be better husbands, to be better fathers, to be true men of God. Not just to be promise makers, because a lot of guys are good promise makers, right? They're liars. They're deceivers, but they just promise makers. And he says, don't just be a promise maker. Don't be like the rest of the world. Be a promise keeper. Be somebody who loves your wife faithfully. Be somebody who is a good father, who to provide, to guide, to be a good example in the lives of your kids, so they grow up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Be a promise keeper. And we went to stadiums, and we went to these huge men's rallies, and we got inspired to be better Christian men. One of the songs that came out, 1995, came from the imagery of Joshua going into the promised land. And one of those worship songs that always fired me up, that always inspired me, it says, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed. I will walk in faith and victory. Yes, I will walk in faith and victory. Why? Because the Lord thy God is with me. Amen. A good worship song can put us on the right path. They can affirm the faith that we have. So speak and declare the truth. And then finally, number four, how are we going to tear down and break a spiritual stronghold in our lives? The fourth step is to let your actions catch up to your faith. Let your actions catch up to your faith. You know, that's actually a picture of the reality of all of our Christian lives. Because none of us completely lives up to what we say we believe. You know, if we do it badly enough, we get called hypocrites, right? You say one thing, you do another. But the Bible says, let's let our actions catch up to our faith. We start to walk in victory as an overcomer. We let the good habits of our Christian faith form the way that the bad habits used to form. You know, you realize that, right? Good habits in our lives, they form the same way bad habits do. Habits form by repetition. And if you say somebody like, well, you're telling me I need to get to church every weekend, how do I do that? I'm not used to that. I'm used to, I just come up to the weekend and I say, what looks good? What's out there? What kind of activities are there? And I just go wherever I feel like going. No, discipline says, I need to be in the house of God. I need to be in a place of prayer. I need to be in fellowship with other believers every week so that I can remember what true north is, so that I'm not going to allow these strongholds to come in and to creep in and start deceiving me and changing the way that I should believe in my life, following God wholeheartedly. I'm not going to let that creep in there. Paul knows that wherever he goes, wherever Paul preaches the gospel, some are going to hear the good news and believe, and some will not believe the message, right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. But sometimes when somebody hears the good news about Christ, they're not going to believe the message. And for whatever reason, they've got their thinking, they've got their reaction. I'm not going to follow Jesus because. I'm not going to submit to this Christian life because. I'm not going to lay down my self-will and start following Jesus because of this or that reason. One reason why a lot of people reject the good news message is that they refuse to believe that all people in all cultures at all times, that everyone needs to embrace Jesus as their Savior in order to have a right relationship with God. They just can't come to believe that everyone needs Jesus to forgive them of their sins so they can begin to follow Him. And I will tell you, in fact, I'm going to close with this, one of the greatest strongholds that I believe is out there in this world today. And of the many lies, of the many deceptions of the enemy, I believe this is probably one of the biggest ones. It basically is an idea that says that all religions basically have the same ideas about God, all religions and philosophies, as long as a person believes and practices them sincerely. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Right? It doesn't matter what a person believes, as long as they practice it sincerely, that will lead them eventually to God and heaven. All roads eventually lead to God. That's the idea that's out there. That is what I call one of the greatest strongholds, because that is one of the biggest lies that is out there. That is one of the biggest deceptions that is in our world today. And the only way that you overcome a stronghold, the only way that you tear it down and demolish it, is you have to confront it with the truth that is in the Word of God. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Timothy. He says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. According to the Apostle John, he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We walk in the light because Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. Look what the Apostle Peter says. Back when we were studying the book of Acts in the winter months ago, Peter confronted the Jewish leaders with this truth. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name, no other name other than Jesus under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The truth is, Jesus is the way. Jesus is able to save completely anyone who comes to God through Him. Jesus said, I'm the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the question for you today, for all of us, is are you ready to reject the religious lies and the strongholds that are out there? Are you ready to recognize that they are pretensions that have set themselves up against the knowledge of God? Are you ready to take Jesus at His word? Are you ready to put your faith completely and exclusively in Him? Jesus gives us a great truth and a promise. He says, whoever hears these words of mine, whoever believes him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So here's the truth of what Jesus says. Compare it with every other philosophy and religion that are out there. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to follow? Which one do you think has the greatest grasp of reality? Are you ready to take Jesus at his word and put your faith completely in him? If you are ready to say yes to Jesus, to following him today, if you're ready to bow your head and to surrender your life to his leadership, then I invite you to pray with me right now. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. With all of our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, let's go to the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the way and the truth and the life. Lord, I declare today that I'm going to put my trust completely in you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you're the one who came to take away all of our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making a way for me to be forgiven. Lord Jesus, I admit to you, I confess all of my sins, all of my moral foul-ups that I've done in my life. Lord, please forgive me of all that. Lord, set me on the right path and help me to take good steps from today forward. Help me to take good, solid spiritual steps to following you. Show me the path that I should live. Lord, I declare, I'm telling you today, from this day forward, I'm going to follow you all of the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you for eternal life. And I rejoice in my salvation that I have in you. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close in a final song. But I just want to remind you that if you prayed that prayer today, and if you were sincere, because God knows your heart, if you did pray that prayer and you said yes to following Jesus, I can say to you with all joy, welcome to God's family. And the reason I can say welcome to God's family is because the Bible says this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. We know we have eternal life because God declares that we do if we're in his Son Jesus. Amen? So let's all stand together. We're going to rejoice in that. I want to remind you that if you did pray that prayer for the first time and you put your trust in Jesus, welcome to God's family. Please keep growing in your faith. Take the next spiritual step. Jesus said that all who believe in him would publicly express that faith in baptism. And there's a card, that welcome card. I'd ask that you'd take that up that card, turn it over, and put a circle around that statement that says, I want to be baptized. We can follow up with you, and we'll make arrangements to make that happen. So let's all sing now. Hannah, would you please lead us in a worship song?
We're going to sing Good, Good Father again. Just again reminding us, this is who Jesus is. This is who God is. He's so good.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Pray that you'll all have a great week, where you will be reminded that we serve a good, good Father who loves us, who's given us a way to know Him personally through His Son, who guides us every day through His Word if we take the discipline to read it. So let's remember, let's fill our lives with the truth of God's Word so that we'll be able to confront the demonic strongholds of the enemy. Amen? Next week, we're going to be going through chapter 11, and it's entitled The Many Trials of a Christian Leader. I hope you'll be back for that. Ladies, do not forget to sign up for the women's retreat out back. God bless you all.
have mics, must. Didn't mean to say that.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Come on in and find a seat. We're going to start in just a minute, so come on in. All right, go ahead and stand with me. And let's pray before we begin worship. Jesus, we just thank you for being here with us this morning, God. Lord, we are so excited to be here with you. Lord, I just pray that you put aside every distraction, put aside everything that we might be thinking about from our week or that we might be thinking about going into this next week, God. I just pray you will put those things aside and just calm our minds and let us be able to hear you. Lord, I pray that you will help us receive from your heart today, God. You will just reveal new truths about who you are today to us, and that we will receive those. In Jesus' name, amen. You can dance, it's okay.
Stand before you now, the greatness of your renown. I have heard of a majesty, a wonder of you, King of heaven. In humility I bow, and as your for us, you are not against us.
just feel like the Lord is just impressing on me this word of receive. And I felt this also in the first service as well, that God just wants us to receive right now. So I'm just going to ask everyone to close your eyes with me. And just tune into Jesus. Lord, we're here, God. And we ask you, Lord, that you open our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Whatever that looks like to each one of us. Because you are so personal, Jesus. You see each of us individually. And you want to bless us in that way, individually. You know exactly what we need this morning, God. And Lord, we just say we're here opening our hearts to receive that.
Champion of heaven. And we enter into his presence, into his kingdom, with in his courts of praise, with our reverence and our worship this morning. And you know, the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that truth fortifies us. That's what helps make us brave to face a world that needs to know there's a God who loves them and a Savior who gave his life for them. Hey, welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. Good morning. My name's Jim, and I'm pastor here, and I'm glad you guys made it out today. I think it's going to be great. I think you're going to be spiritually fortified to go live a life that honors God. Amen? Amen. So, hey, if you are a guest, first time with us, we've got this travel mug for you. Hot or cold drinks you can put in it. We'd love to give this to you. We ask that you fill out this welcome card. Just fill it out. We'll exchange it for a cup in the back. If you're joining us via the internet and live stream, welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. And we hope that if you live in the area, someday you'll make your way down here in person. We pray that this will be a spiritually fortifying message and a service for you today. So let's turn this morning. Hey, I had a great week. I celebrated with my wife, Lisa, 33 years of marriage. And the best news of all, she's still speaking to me. She still thinks I'm all right, and we decided to go for another 33 years. So let's turn and greet one another right now.
All right. Well, welcome. Hi. Good morning. Good morning. It's so awesome to greet and welcome everyone. And we were so tickled to have beautiful, young, smiling faces with us last night up here. And look at this gorgeous row full. Yay. Oh, friends, we love it when you come in to join us for worship and praise. We just love it. We're so glad. We welcome all of you here today to Sebastopol Christian Church. I have some wonderful announcements, but I'm going to tell you right now, they've given me a lot. So I will do my very best to make it as interesting as it can be so that you can hang on. Because the beauty and the joy of coming here together on the weekends is that we get to be together. And we get to worship our God and Savior, our Lord and King, together as one. And so it's just wonderful to come in, to meet friends, to greet. But we want to keep doing that throughout the week. That's how we are empowered to be able to break the strongholds, as you're going to hear preached today in the sermon, that come into our lives. And sometimes they just kind of sneak in, they seep in. So we need ways to be able to fight those and to stand up against them, to literally break them. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of God's word, to be able to put that into our lives on a daily basis. So this is step one, and this is most important. Come together and we worship on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. And we're so happy that you're doing that together with us today. We get to sing our praises through worship and through this incredible worship band that we have up here. And then we get to take it out into our daily lives weekly. And so we've got some incredible things coming up that we do not want you to miss. First of all, I do want you to know that this day, this service, and throughout this week until Friday is the last opportunity for you to sign up for our women's retreat. If you're a woman, and if you know one, we want you to come. We want you to invite them. We want you to bring a friend. We want you to come together with us as we breathe. I needed to do that. We all need to do that. We need to stop for a minute. We need to breathe in God's Holy Spirit, and we need to breathe out. Breathing is vital to our lives. If I stopped doing that right now, I may pass out and then my body would kind of start doing it on its own. God created it pretty wonderfully. Or I wouldn't if I kept holding my breath. Life, our very physical lives are dependent upon us breathing. Our spiritual lives are no different. If we're not breathing in God's Spirit and breathing out His power, His love, then we wither. And we fade away, and we do not want that to happen. We want to be vital. We want to be growing, right, guys? We do. We want to grow, and we want to grow together. So we encourage you, be praying about this women's retreat, that it will be exactly what God wants it to be for every single individual there. That's what's awesome about God. He knows what you need, even though I don't, and He will meet you there. So please come, make every allowance that you need to, and just be there so that we can breathe together. And then we are also going to get together as a family, as the family of God. Now we're doing that right now. That's great. This is where we start together on the weekends. But then we want to have fun as a family, and we know no better way to do that than to go to a ball game. So we're going to go to A's Family Day together as the family at Sebastopol Christian Church. This is an excellent opportunity. Invite anyone you know. We can get as many tickets as we have people as long as we know ahead of time. So please, both of the signups for the women's retreat and the A's game are right out there on the back table as you're leaving today. So if you haven't done it yet, please sign up for both of those. Now, every day of every week, that's what we're talking about. Jim's going to speak to that directly today. Putting God's word in every single day so that we can live the life He's called us to, break down those strongholds and live in His freedom. So we have groups for you to do that. We have men's life groups. We have women's life groups. We have couples life groups, singles life groups. We want every single one of you, can you get that, to be in one. So we're trying to make as many as possible. And we would love, if you're called to lead one, talk to Jim, call the church office. We want life groups for everyone at every stage and age so that you can truly live the life that God has called you to live. And in those smaller, intimate groups, you get to encourage each other, pray for each other specifically, and build each other up. So be looking for all the announcements on our life groups. And then women are not going to outdo the men, because Jim has found an incredible speaker for our next men's prayer breakfast, and he wants you to join him. An ex-49er football player that Jim and I was recommended to Jim, and we've heard great things about him, is going to come and share with you. So you don't want to miss out on this, guys. This will be on Saturday, September 23rd, and it's going to start early in the morning at 7:30. Well, yes, I am truly blessed and honored to have celebrated 33 years of marriage with Jim, and I am so thrilled about that. But do you realize, as long as that may seem, and as thankful as I am, this church has a longer history than that. We are celebrating together over 50 years. We're having a great 50-year celebration. And we want to pay honor. And Jim and I just get to come and do that, because all of those foundational building years were put in by those people who loved God and loved his church and loved this community. And they've built on that for 50 years. So we're going to honor those people. But then we're going to come together and we're going to praise God and we're going to thank him. And I said, praise him and thank him for what we already know he is planning and is going to fulfill through Sebastopol Christian Church into the future. And we are excited about that. We know God has a plan. We know we've been called. And we want to come together as his people, as his family, and celebrate our 50th anniversary. And so we're going to do that. But we also know that there is no way that we would have had a history or that we will have a future unless we give it to God. So we're going to do something really important. And I'm asking every one of you, please be a part of this with us. We have an incredible night of worship and prayer coming. And we want to commit ourselves to God through that as a church, as a family of God. And we ask that you will please be a part of that with us. It's going to be Friday, September 8th at 6:30 p.m. Yes, the very next day we're going to meet here to carpool to the A's game as a family. But let's gather together first and let's call on God. Let's ask him, what is it that you want from us? Now, you remember I said prayer and worship. We're going to mix that night with incredible worship songs like we're able to sing today, with prayer on what God's doing and how he wants to heal us, and then how he wants to lead us and where he wants to move us. And then we're going to reopen up his word and have words of scripture. So it's just going to be kind of a concert of prayer. And we're all going to come together as a church body. So please put that on your calendar for that Friday night. Well, let's continue doing more of that worship right now.
Go ahead and stand with us. To age.
He stands. Time is in His hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The God that three in one. Father, Spirit, Son.
For your presence, Lord, and for meeting us here in this place. Stories of what they think.
Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide cause and hope, just what we need before we say. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect.
God we serve, what a great God we worship, a God who is a good, good Father. He knows what we need before we say a word, and he provides every good and perfect gift that we have in our lives. We're coming to a time of communion, and if you're going to be serving this morning, I'd ask that you prepare at this time. I was reminded during that song about God being a good, good Father that wanted to reflect on what a good Father does. I was thinking about what a good father does. You know, he provides for his family's needs, and he protects his wife and his children, and he looks toward what they need, and he tries to think ahead and scout ahead and say, you know, what is in the best interest? What would be the best direction for this family to go in? What is the thing that they need most? And I think God is a good father to us all, looking out on humanity and seeing us estranged from him because of our sins and the need to be forgiven, the need to be brought back to a right relationship after the fall in the garden, that God said, okay, I'm going to initiate the rescue plan. And he did it out of his motivation of love for us. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you are a God of love. And thank you that you saw us there in our need, estranged from you, all sheep like we were going astray. And you brought us near through the death of your Son, Jesus. And that is what we celebrate at this time of communion. We remember his sacrifice. We celebrate his death and also his victory over sin and death when he rose from the dead. And so, Lord, help us to draw near to you. Help us to examine our lives this week, see where we have been, see where you want us to go, and remember that the grace is always here, that we can always start afresh. We can always be renewed in that relationship with you because of Christ. And we honor him at this time. Amen. Pray together. Father, thank you that you are a God of love, and that love defines you as much as any other word that we have, that you are someone who desires relationship with us. And Lord, we recognize that love is about giving and love is about receiving. And Lord, at this time, we want to give to you, and we want to give to your church. We want to give to your causes. Of our tithes and our offerings so that you can advance the agenda that you have to try to reconcile this world to your son Jesus, to try to meet people's needs and extend your love through people's meeting people's needs wherever they are. So Father, we pray that we would be generous and excel in this grace of giving. We pray that we would be good stewards of what you've given us. And Lord, may these gifts be used in a responsible way to advance your causes and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in the ground forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. There in the ground, there in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he the solid rock, and on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. Power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Please go ahead and have a seat. We're going to jump right into the message this morning. And I love that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And what that means is we're standing on Jesus and on his truth. That means all other ground, anything that's other than Jesus, is sinking sand. Now, there's the truth from God's word, and that's something we need to hold fast to in our lives. We're going to be talking about that this morning. We are going through a series this summer in 2 Corinthians, and I hope you have a Bible reading plan somewhere. And somewhere in that plan, I hope by the end of summer, it includes reading all the way through the 13 chapters of 2 Corinthians. We've arrived all the way up to chapter 10 this week. The message is called Tearing Down Strongholds, or Demolishing Strongholds. We're gonna be talking about that. What is a stronghold in our lives? So let's go to the Lord in prayer together and ask His blessing on His word. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You to be together in this house of worship with these people. And Father, I pray for the filling of Your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray to be able to speak Your truth in love so that the words I say are not just my words, they are what You want to communicate to Your people today. And Lord, please help the hearers out there. Please help them to be attentive. Please help them to listen so they'll get the most out of what You want to say to them. And Lord, help us all, not just to have the word of God go in one ear and out the other and not make any difference in our lives. Father, we don't want to be like that. We want to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So, Father, help us to focus in and lock in on what You want to say to us today. Lord, may Jesus be lifted up in all things. And we pray in His name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there are serious battles that are going around us all the time. If you're a news junkie and you follow the news, you might be more aware of this than a lot of people. But there are battles that are going around us in the United States and in the world, and they're happening every day of every week. There are battles between drug pushers and the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. There's battles going on right now between organized crime or the mafia and the FBI. There's battles between human traffickers and law enforcement. There's daily, hourly battles going on between global terrorists who would want to impose and coerce the rest of the world into their way of life and thinking through death and through terrorism versus law enforcement such as our Homeland Security. What's interesting is these are dangerous people with dangerous activities, some of whom can really harm us and destroy our way of life if they have their way. And yet, for the most part, a lot of us aren't even fully aware that these battles are taking place all the time. And here's the catch. These battles that I'm talking about, these are the physical battles that we can even see and can be aware of. What about the other battles that are going on? What about other spiritual battles that are invisible that we're not able to see with our physical eyes? How about those kind of cosmic battles that are going on for the souls and the future of men and women who are created in God's image but who have been marred in this fallen world? How about those kinds of battles? These are the battles that really matter. These are the wars over our hearts and minds, and even though they're invisible, God says in His word that these battles are no less real. And that requires us to suit up. That requires us to say, if there's really spiritual battles going on there, then I need to suit up. I need to put on the armor that God gives me, and so do you, and to be able to face those battles that are ahead of us. Paul tells the Christ followers in the city of Ephesus to put on their spiritual armor. He says in Ephesians 6, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, that's an interesting word, schemes. It comes from a Greek word, methodia, which means to act deceitfully, to act deceptively or craftily. In other words, it's the kind of activity that the enemy of our souls does, and we may not even know that is coming. It's like a sucker punch. We didn't even see it coming, right? And yet, he is acting craftily. He's scheming against us and our lives, and he's trying to destroy us. Paul goes on and says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think it's against people. Sometimes we think it's against politicians or certain world forces that are out there, nation against nation, etc. But Paul says our struggle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, his greatest ability, I believe, in this world is Satan has the ability to deceive. He has the ability to cause us to doubt God and His word. And instead, Satan has the ability to try to get us to believe his lies. And when we believe his lies, that's when he begins to have power over us. No one knew that better than 20th century Christian apologist and author C.S. Lewis. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote a whole book about this, a fictional book of a conversation by letters between two demons, a junior demon named Wormwood and a senior demon named Screwtape. And this is what Screwtape writes to his younger demon looking for advice into how to destroy the life of a human being. Screwtape advised, "But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy." Now again, from the perspective of the demon, who's the enemy? God, right? "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards, if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape." I recommend that book to you to read if you want to see about the spiritual battle that is going on in the invisible world for the hearts and minds of men. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. He says, "For though we live in this world," Paul says, "I recognize I'm a human being. I've got two hands and feet, and I walk around in this world, and I have to put on my toga every morning just like the rest of you." I don't know what Paul was wearing. I was thinking about pants, and I said, he probably didn't have pants. "For though we live in the world," Paul says, "we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." In other words, it's not a spear, it's not a sword, it's not a catapult, it's not fire or anything like that. It's not an automatic weapon. The weapons, Paul says, that we fight with, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So Paul's using this military metaphor here to talk about the spiritual battle. And he uses this word strongholds as an allusion to these towers or these raised ramparts, these fortresses that were used in the ancient world and in ancient battles. Paul uses strongholds to stand for every argument, every pretension that rears up and contradicts the truth about God, about who God is and what God is like. Let me give you an example. Here's an example of a false idea about God. Some of us grew up thinking this. I always thought that God was this ancient lawgiver. He was the creator of the universe, and he made us, but he didn't have a daily relationship with us, and God certainly didn't want to have a conversation with some peon like me. So God is up there ruling in the universe. He's reigning wherever he is, but he's far away, and he's distant, and he's mean, and he's vindictive, and he can't wait. He's watching us, and he can't wait for us to step out of line and to sin and to start doing something against one of his commands so that he can zap us in punishment. I remember having that mindset of that's who I thought God was. That's not how God is at all. When you read the Bible, it says God, just like the song that we sang, he's a good, good father. God is not only the creator, but he is relational. God is love. He wants to relate to us, his highest creation, made in his image. And he is a good father. So, in other words, you take a lie like what I just described, and then you have to replace it with the truth of who God is based on his word. You have to tear down that stronghold, that false idea of what people think God is like. In another translation, the New Living Translation, Paul says it this way. He says, "We're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God." Can you imagine having that ministry? Paul says, "You want to know my ministry in the world is? I take every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God and I knock them down. I just knock them down. All the lies about God and who they think God is, I'm just going to knock down all those lies and I'm going to replace it with the gospel truth of who God is as revealed in his own divine son, Jesus Christ." And he says, "We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ." What a ministry. What a high calling that is. Paul's ministry of demolishing strongholds. Now, here's a question for us this morning. How do we know? How do you even know we have a stronghold in our lives? How would we recognize it? And once we do recognize it, how would we go about overcoming a stronghold that might be in your life? I mean, one reason, I think we've heard a lot of truth today. Jesus says in his Gospel of John, he's praying to the Father, and he says, Father, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth, right? So he says, in other words, the truth of the word of God is what is going to set them apart from the lies and the deceptions that are out there in this world. So he says, we need to hear the truth of the word of God. That's why we're gathering here on Sunday and on the weekends, so that we can get a dose, a strong dose of the truth of the word of God, so that when the lies come along, we'll have the ability to say, you know what? I know from God's word that whatever that idea is out there, that's not godly. That doesn't represent Christ. I reject that. That's not going to come in and be a part of my life. We have to have the ability to start practicing daily like that, to be like the Apostle Paul, to recognize a stronghold and to knock it down, to reject it and to get it out of our lives. You know, Jesus, when in his ministry and when he was preaching the good news to people, he was knocking down strongholds all the time. Let me illustrate. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, I'll just give you two examples. What is the stronghold? As we're reading this scripture, I want you to answer the question, what is the stronghold that needs to be challenged and confronted and rejected? And how is the truth of God's word replacing that stronghold? Look what Jesus says. This is in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus said, you've heard it said. When Jesus says, you've heard it said, he's now saying, I'm going to ding, ding, pay attention, because now here is a common philosophy, a common value that's in your world and that many of you believe today. I'm here to tell you that that's not godly, that doesn't represent the truth of God, and that's not how you're to live. You need to confront that stronghold and replace it with the truth of God's word. The stronghold is love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In other words, I can choose who my neighbors are. I can choose who my family members are. I get to choose who the people that I love in this life. And everybody else who disagrees with me, or they're of another tribe or a race or a people, anybody with another philosophy out there, I don't have to love them, because I'm to love my neighbor and hate my enemy. And Jesus said, that's not the way God wants you to live at all. You need to confront that stronghold and to get rid of it in your life. And he says, you need to replace it with love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let me give you another stronghold. Jesus says to them, so whenever Jesus says, you've heard it said, get ready for a stronghold, right? You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I can tell you, in my American red-blooded male upbringing, This is the way of the world. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Watching Arnold Schwarzenegger when I was young, watching Sylvester Stallone, all those heroes, not the superheroes, but the human heroes who were just studly guys. What usually happened in a movie was somebody that they loved or cared about got hurt or kidnapped or killed. And all of a sudden, now it's on. And the superhero of the movie, whether it's Schwarzenegger or Stallone or somebody like that, they suddenly got a green light to say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In fact, if you kidnap my daughter, I'm going to kill 500 of you. And I'm going to do it in a nasty way. And everybody's in the movie going, yeah, Arnold, you do it. Yeah, Sylvester, you do it. So we learn. I even learned in growing up, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the way of the world. You hit me and I'll hit you back harder. You challenge me and I will knock you down. That's the way of the world. And yet Jesus says, you've heard it said, this is the way that people think, but I tell you, I'm going to give you a new way of thinking that should lead to a new way of living. And Jesus says, don't resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek as well. In other words, how is this world of people hurting people, of of you hurt me, so I get to hurt you back. Or if you hurt me and you're too powerful, then I need to look around for somebody weaker than I am so I can pass on that hurt to other people. When is that hurt ever going to end in the world? And Jesus says it's only ever going to end when you don't practice an eye for an eye, when instead of retaliating with violence, you do not resist an evil person. That's the only way the world is ever going to change around. We've got to demolish strongholds like that. And Jesus just gave us two great examples of how to do that. Whenever, let me also illustrate or define what a stronghold is and how a stronghold gets into our way of thinking. Whenever you allow your mind to focus on something repeatedly, whenever you allow an idea or a value to occupy your mind, you allow it to shape you and influence you, and over time, that idea begins to express who you are and what you value. That idea will eventually determine who you become, because it says in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your mind will absorb and reflect on whatever it is exposed to. So whatever the events that you attend all the time, whatever the relationships that you are constantly in and you build, whatever materials you read, whatever music you constantly listen to, whatever the media images that you expose yourself to, those thoughts that you entertain, the thoughts that you ruminate on, you know, I love that word, ruminate, by the way. It's not just a big SAT word. It actually is a good word picture. The word ruminate is the picture of a cow chewing its cud. It's like you see this cow out in the field going, and you're going, man, you're really getting all you can out of that grass. You know, like that guy in Appalachia with that big wad of chewing tobacco. You're just getting all of it, dude. You know, you're ruminating on it. You're going over it over and over and over in your mind until you've allowed it to come in, and now you believe it, and now you ruminate on it. You're going it over and over, and soon it becomes part of you. Soon it becomes part of your character and what you value. And if you're not careful, that lie, that deception can come in and eventually ruin your character and change your destiny. And God doesn't want you to do that. Let me illustrate, and now let me illustrate what some strongholds are. And I'm going to tell you in advance. Now I am going to meddling. You heard what meddling is, right? Now I'm going to get personal with you. Now I'm going to get into your grill. I'm going to get into your kitchen. I might challenge what some of you guys do or believe. For example, and let me just call out some strongholds. Number one stronghold for men especially in this world. You look at pornography over time, and you will start to see women in a different way. You will start to see them as sex objects and not as people infinitely valued by God and created in His image. You look at women's fashion magazines all the time, and you start to think that the only beautiful women out there are 5'10", blonde, and 115 pounds. And I got to tell you, 115 pounds isn't necessarily beautiful if you're 5'10". You're a skeleton. You listen to some hard music like gangsta rap all the time, and you start to see the world according to their view. Cops are racist. Violence and fighting will solve all your problems and get you respect in this world. Women are objects to be toyed with, and the only thing it values is money, bling. You watch enough romantic modern movies, and you start to think that it's perfectly okay when a man and a woman, they start to have this friendship and relationship, and there's a spark of an attraction. It's perfectly okay before they ever get married to start having sexual relations with each other. All that really matters is there's this spark between them, they're consenting, and if they really, quote, care about each other, that's the only thing that matters. And there are more strongholds out there than that. I've just named a few about what is beauty, about the importance of fame, about the importance of money, and what does it mean to be successful in this world. All these kinds of ideas can take root in our lives and develop strongholds in our hearts, and we got to watch out for that, because it says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. The more that you listen and watch these lies on a regular basis, the more you start to believe them, the more powerful and gripping that stronghold will become in your life. And so it's the one thing that should be obvious is there are a lot of different strongholds out there. And it's not like a cafeteria. We are to take every stronghold that could potentially cripple us and hinder us and trip us up in this Christian life, and we are to call it out and to reject it. The Bible says we are to confront that stronghold, call it out, tear it down, and replace the stronghold with the truth that is in God's Word. Again, what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 10:5? He says, we demolish strongholds. We demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, that's easier said than done. Taking captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, I remember that one illustration where Martin Luther was talking about with this other priest or this other Christian, and he says, Mr. Luther, I'm having a problem with lust in my life, and I feel like I can't get rid of it. And he says, well, how do I get rid of it? And he says, well, you need to not let it take root. And he says, well, how do I do that? And he says, well, it's like this. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to build a nest for them on top of your head, right? So in other words, don't let them take root. Don't let those deceptive lies and evil thoughts take root in your life. You've got to be able to reject them. You've got to reject them with the Word of God, just like Jesus said. I referenced this earlier. Jesus said, sanctify them, or in other words, set your people apart to God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So what is the truth that will reject those lies and deceptions and keep them from being strongholds in our life? It's God's word. We've got to let God's word come in. We've got to let his Holy Spirit work through his word to point us out, or to point out what the lies and deceptions are, to give us that discernment. We use prayer, we use faith, and we trust God that he is going to give us the discernment to discover where those lies are. In fact, that's one reason why you're coming to church every week, because you're getting the truth of God's word to help you discern and recognize what those lies and deceptions out there, and not let them get to the point of developing a stronghold in your life. Now, in your bulletin, in your program, you have four basic sentences, because we're going to answer the question, you know, what are some steps that can help you tear down and break a spiritual stronghold in your life? How are you going to do it? Well, the first one is the most obvious. The first step to tearing down and breaking down a stronghold in your life is to know your opponent. You have to know your opponent. And again, remember Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so the one thing we've got to know is, okay, I've got to know my opponent. You know what that means? It means your opponent is not a family member. Your opponent is not your boss. Your opponent is not the nasty driver on the road. Your opponent is not the person who just stole your parking space. Your opponent is not that gossipy coworker. Your opponent is actually the ancient enemy of all humanity, the one who's been the enemy of our souls ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. His name is Satan, the devil. And so our battle against a stronghold in our lives, it's ultimately not flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual. Thank God that he says in 1 John, he says, greater is the Holy Spirit who is in us than he who is in the world. So in other words, we don't have to be defeated by this enemy. As powerful as that enemy is, he's no match for Jesus, and he's no match for the Holy Spirit if we let the Holy Spirit govern our lives. And so you have to know your opponent, number one. Number two, you have to pray and seek God's help. We have to be in constant communication with our Heavenly Father to point us to what the truth is and to point us away from what the lies are. We ask the Holy Spirit, we say, please, God, direct, guide my prayers. Lord, help me to see the difference between what is real and what it isn't. Help me to see the difference between truly following you with your values, like turning the other cheek, like blessing those who insult me, like not practicing an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Lord, help me to put that truth into my life and to get rid of the other values that do not come from you and from your Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 4, it says, put off your old self and put on the new self. Now, what that means is it's talking in terms of clothing. We're wearing this certain dress of clothing. And God says that the old self that we have, that is like an old pudrido, which is a like spoiled or decaying set of clothes. It's got the smell of death on it. It's got the smell of ugliness, and it stinks. And Paul says your old way of life is like this old set of clothes. You shouldn't be wearing that anymore. You need to get rid of that old set of clothes. Replace that old set of clothes by putting on the new self. And the new self is the new, brand new, spiritual set of clothes. And Paul says that new set of clothes is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, that new clothes that God has for you, it's clean, it's nice, it's fresh, it's God-honoring. And it's created in true righteousness and holiness. We got to get rid of the old clothes and put on the new clothes. That's how we're seeking God's help. Number three, speak and declare the truth. We have to declare the truth. There's some times when you just need to say it out loud. Lisa and I, one time in 2004, we were in the city of London. We had gone there on a mission team with our church, and we were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people from Muslim backgrounds. And I remember we were on this street, Portobello Road. You ever remember that? The song Bedknobs and Broomsticks? And it's got this song, Portobello Road, Portobello Road. There was actually a city in London night. And we're on Portobello Road. We set up this book table, and we start meeting with Muslim people, and we start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And there was a Muslim man who came along to a woman. She was African and living in England, and he was trying to share, quote, his version of Islam. You know, in other words, the good news of Islam, if there is such a thing. So he's trying to, quote, evangelize her to the Muslim way of life. And she's listening to him, and she's folding her arms, and she's listening to what he says. And I didn't know who she was. I had no idea what her background was, but I admired her. I admired her courage, because she listened to him for a few minutes, and then she goes, I reject your teaching. I reject your way of life, and I reject your philosophy. I am a follower of my Lord Jesus Christ, and I am not interested in your religion. And I was just like, yes! Would that there be more women and men like that, because she called it out. The lie came to her, the deception came to her, and she responded with the truth of the Word of God, with courage. And that song about, Lord, you make me brave, you make me brave. I don't know if she sang that song right before that conversation, but she was brave. And she exhibited courage. Sometimes we need to speak. We need to declare the truth. Because Jesus said, if you follow my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the truth. You know, remember, replacing the lies with the truth of the Word of God. The truth is that you and I, through faith in Jesus, you are a child of God. You have the righteousness of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's Word to lead you and to guide you. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet. Your Word is a light unto my path. You can overcome those strongholds in your life with God's help. Sin doesn't have to have a grip on you anymore, because Christ has set us free, and we need to live in that freedom. And we need to declare that God is empowering you and me to be able to live a life of self-control. It's not impossible. It's not too hard. God has given us these weapons, and we can demolish strongholds. We can overcome in the power of Jesus' name. Amen? You know, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's the praises of God. I remember in the 1990s, I was part of this movement in our church called Promise Keepers, where they were trying to teach Christian men not just to be promise makers. Because let's face it, in this world, aren't a lot of men a bunch of promise makers? You know, I promise that I'm going to be this. I promise I'll be faithful. I promise I'll be exclusive to you. I promise I'll provide and take care of this family. Bunch of promise makers, but how many are really promise keepers? And so that was the point of the movement, is we want to be doers of the word. We want to love our wives. We want to take care of our kids. We want to raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord so that they will grow up and be world changers for the cause of Christ in their generation. And so that's what we were trying to do as promise keepers. And I remember this song from 1995. It was from an album called Seize the Moment. And it grabbed from the imagery of the book of Joshua, you know, where God is now calling Joshua to be the leader and to go into the promised land. And the song said, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. I will walk in faith and victory." Yes, I will walk in faith and victory. And why? Because the Lord thy God is with thee. And when you hear truth like that, you're going, that's right. That's how you walk in faith and victory. You remind yourself of the truth, and you expel the lies, and you fill your life up so much with the word of God and with the truth that when the lie or the deception of the enemy comes along, you immediately go, counterfeit, reject that idea, I'm not going to live that way. That's not the way of Jesus. That's the way of the world. Would that we would all be able to live that way. So we speak and we declare the truth. And then number four, and this is the hardest one because it's all about living. You know, it's easy to talk about the Christian life. Christian life is instantaneous oatmeal to understand. The Christian life is rocket science, or what I used to call rocket surgery to do, brain surgery to do. And somebody says, there's no such thing as rocket surgery. I know, I was combining rocket science and brain surgery, but I thought it was a nice play on words. So it's easy, in other words, Christian life is easy to talk about. Christian life is actually very hard to live out. It's easy to understand, but it's not simple to live out. And we need to be able to overcome in this. Let our actions catch up to our faith. Start to walk in victory as an overcomer. Good habits form the same way that bad habits form in our lives. They happen by repetition. And so why is it that on the back table there right now, there's this new Bible devotional for September, October, November? Why are we handing out these booklets for free? Because we want God's people every single day, whether it's morning or on your lunch break or at night before you go to bed, we want you to be taking in, to be reading and studying and meditating and memorizing the Word of God so that we can live lives according to the truth, and the truth is going to set us free, and we can recognize the lies and the deceptions of the enemy and reject those. That's why we need to have God's Word in our lives. We need to walk in victory as an overcomer and practice good habits so that the good habits become part of our character over time by repetition, over and over again, doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Keep standing your ground. Remind yourself of God's truth. Keep doing what is right. Now, Paul knew. He knew about the spiritual battle that he was in. He knew that part of his ministry was to call out lies of the enemy, demonic strongholds, to call them out, to tear them down, to demolish them. But Paul knew that wherever he went and wherever he preached the gospel, he knew there were going to be some people that would hear the good news and respond to it. Paul also knew that there was going to be people that heard the good news message and decided to reject it. They decided they were not going to believe the message. For whatever reason, they were not going to turn away from their sins to God. They were not going to humble themselves. They were not going to rely on God's grace through faith in Jesus. They were going to try some other way to get right with God. And honestly, out there, the people who do not believe the gospel message, they will usually come up with a reason. And in a lot of times in their lives, it's a very sincere reason why they do not believe the gospel, why they refuse to believe that all people in all cultures in all generations need to turn away from whatever direction they were going in and turn back to God in faith and embrace Jesus as their Savior. They've got a reason why they don't do that. They can't believe, some of them can't believe that everybody needs to turn to Jesus in faith in order to be saved. And I will tell you that having looked out over this world and having studied the world the way it is, I'm going to now declare to you what I believe to be one of the biggest demonic strongholds that are out there in the world today. One of the biggest lies of the enemy, that if the world believes this, that it will block and be an incredible obstacle to the advance of the Christian faith. Here's what the demonic stronghold is. It's the idea that all religions basically teach the same ideas about God. All religions and philosophies, as long as a person believes and practices them sincerely, all religions will eventually lead you to God and to heaven. And I can tell you, compared that idea that I just expressed to you with what the message is in the Bible and God's Word, those are two contradictory ideas. Because the Apostle Paul says very clearly in 1 Timothy 2:5, he says there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. In other places in the gospel, the Apostle John says it this way. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. How are your sins going to be forgiven? How are you going to be forgiven from all the wrong things you've done to offend a holy God? The Christian faith has an answer. The other religions have some other pathway. According to the Apostle Peter, speaking to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name other than Jesus, no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is able to save completely anyone who comes to God through faith in him. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Don't you think Jesus would have known the difference? So here's the question. Are you ready to reject the religious lies and the strongholds that are out there? Are you ready to call out the pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God? Are you ready to take Jesus at his word and put your faith completely in him? Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine, these are words of life. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. What a tremendous promise from the lips of Jesus himself. And if you're ready to accept that promise, if you're ready to receive the grace of God that he has for you, if you're ready to say yes to following Jesus and to bow your knee to him, to surrender your life to his leadership, then I'm just going to ask you, let's just stop and we're going to pray right now. Let's bow our heads and pray to the living God. Let's go to the Lord with all of our heads bowed, all of our eyes closed, in humble prayer to the God who made us. Dear Lord Jesus, today I declare that I am going to put my complete trust in you and in you alone to save me. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you came to take away our sins. I believe you did it because you love us. And Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making a way for me to be forgiven. And today, God, I ask you to set me on the right path. Help me to take good, solid spiritual steps toward you as I follow you all the rest of the days of my life. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the promise of eternal life that you've given to me through faith in Jesus. And I rejoice today. I rejoice in my salvation that I have in you. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. You know, the Bible's very clear. Let's, worship team, come on up. The Bible's very clear. It says in 1 John chapter 5, John says to the listeners, he says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think, not that you may hope, not that you may wonder. Depending on my walk, depending on my spiritual life today or tomorrow, it's like, I don't feel like I'm in a right relationship with God. It's not based on your feeling. It's based on the truth of what God just said in his word, that he who has the Son has life, has eternal life forever. So if you prayed that prayer and you were sincere today, I can say to you with joy, welcome. Welcome to God's family. And we want to continue to help you grow in your spiritual life, in your journey with Jesus. And I'd urge you to take the next spiritual step that Jesus said for us to take. He says, now that you believe in me and you follow me, I want you to publicly and acknowledge me as your Lord and Savior in the waters of baptism. And so if you're ready to be baptized, I'd ask you to take that welcome card that's in front of you and put your name in on the front and on the back side. Just circle that phrase that says, I am ready to be baptized. I want to be baptized, and to take that next step of faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand right now, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to remember that through God's power, we can overcome anything that the enemy throws at us. And we, through Jesus, have the power to demolish strongholds and to walk in faith and victory. Amen? Amen. Let's sing.
Jesus, you are such a good Father, God. We thank you for that, Lord.
Coming this Saturday. You can still sign up for that in the back, in the table, in the lobby area. Let's go out and live a grace-filled week. Let's remember that we have a good, good Father. Let's grow so close in our relationship with our Heavenly Father that whenever the enemy comes around with his lies and deceptions, we're just going to be able to say, I reject that. I reject that. I'm walking with my God. Have a great week.